from the lighter side of pest control. This is the Tales from the Crawl Space podcast with your host.
Okay. Oh, no. No. Oh, God. Don't kill me. Check it, bro.
Fucking A, man. It is finally season. And, you know, the weather's starting to warm up off and on. I live in Indiana. What the fuck, you know? It's a crapshoot every time I wake up every morning. But for the most part, weather's warming up. Days are getting longer. It's season. Season is coming. Welcome once again to this season of Tales from the Crawl Space podcast. And with me, as always, spanning the miles, is the one and only bearded mystic himself, Jack Starry. How you doing, man?
Doing right, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. You know, season's starting to pick up. The end of the month slump is on me now, though. It's like we've only got 2 days left in the month. And, you know, things are going good. You know, life is good. Things are getting busier. We're making it, man. We're making
it. Yeah, it's the time of year to get out there and be running and gunning. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got butt dialed by one of our fellow cheese bags today, and I'm not sure if I didn't get his permission to mention his name, so I'm not gonna. But I got butt dialed by one, and he's got termite problems in front of his house, 20 foot away. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a power rig or anything like that. Partial basement. So I said the best thing I could think for him to do would be, since it's 4 gallons for every 10 linear foot per foot to depth of footer for standard termidor, is mix it, dig a trench around the foundation, mix it in 5 gallon buckets, and do about for every 9 foot, one of them 5 gallon buckets, and just completely flood that trench, let it sink down. But I said, you got to dig a trench though, so don't come running out in your yard. But I saw one video, he's got all kinds of termites about 20 foot off front of his house. So
holy shit. Yeah, if he's just using Termidor SC, he's going to have to do a 6-inch by 6-inch trench, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's the Suez Canal compared to fucking Termidor HE. You know, 3 inches by 3 inches. You know, the typical, you know, pickaxe with the flat end on it. Just drag it. You know, just pick at it all the way down. You'll get the trench that you need. But you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, that's actually sage advice. He's going to be there for a minute, but that's good advice.
Well, I tell you, Big O had these damn trenching tools. It was like a sharpened piece of pipe on the end of, at a 45 degree angle on the end of a stick, basically.
Yeah, I've used them. Yeah.
Those things are wasted time.
They're fucking crap, man. It's like,
they're about as much crap as a B&G ground rod. because that fucking brass connector is just soft as hell. And if you get if you push it anything other than perfectly even, you end up fucking up that joint.
Yeah.
Where the handle meets the rod on that little brass coupling where you screw up. Fucking waste, man.
I have one. I keep it in my truck. I use it to scratch my back when I'm driving.
That's what it's good for.
That's about damn near all it's good for. And don't get me started on the dust stick, man. I'm still.
Oh, I got a dust stick story for you tonight. So
I'm still eating bitter reeds over that one, man. Oh, God.
I got to tell you, I can't remember if it was Atlas Tool or American Manufacturing that made a soil rod out of iron pipe, a quarter inch iron pipe, interior diameter iron pipe. And they had the iron T on it with a ball valve at the end of the handle where you hook up your quick connect from your hose. And man, you could stand on that damn thing.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't fall apart or bend on you. Then things last forever. I love that. It's the same thing that Schmerlich did. They built their own rigs. They built their own termite tools. I think I'd mentioned a long time ago, I love that fucking truck I had, man.
Yeah.
200 gallons, gas and electric pumps on them with hit a valve to switch them off. And the soil rod tool, man, you could beat somebody to death with that thing and turn around and do a termite job with it. It is fantastic. It really was.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I remember seeing some old pictures and stuff of the, you know, the good old, you know, heady days of Chlordane. And the treatment rod setups they had were just freaking archaic and shit. You know, it's like you got like a almost like a hose bib thing on the end of a rod. It's like you stick it in there and you're like, turn it, turn it, turn it, turn it, turn it, turn it on. you know, run this shit. And it's like, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. Go to the other hole. Da, 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 da. It's like, Jesus Christ, how did they get anything done?
Yeah, yeah, I tell you, my wrist would be fat and swollen from all that twist. I get like carpal tunnel syndrome with that damn thing.
Oh no, shit. Yeah, I like my Robco. Just, you know, yep, move on down. It's actually great. I busted my foot last weekend and was having some issues. William the Merciful decided he wanted to get out in the field, so he came out and helped me on a termite job. Did the trenching and stuff. I drilled and treated and everything. And you know, he basically did the grunt work. And if you're listening, Bill, and I know you are, thank you very much. I really appreciated that. And,
good on you, Bill.
Yeah, no shit, right? And where was I going with this? But anyway, yeah, the job. I was thinking doing this treatment. I was like, man, this is so much more awesome than it used to be. I mean, because you would always have to get in a crawl space or a basement, drill the block voids, all that shit, treat the piers, you know, and it was just it's just so much easier now. And you know, the new non-repellent technology that we have, it's just been really good. I mean, it's just been a godsend. You know, you can theoretically do a couple, three jobs in a day, good size ones too, not just mini barns and shit. I mean, full on houses. You know, if you were younger than me, then you could actually do that. But, you know, it's good. But damn it, we're not here to talk about termites tonight, Jack.
No, sir, we're not.
No, we're
sir,
not. We're going to talk about those six-legged motherfuckers. Some of them have wings, some of them don't. Yeah, we're talking about those stinging insects. And, you know, while it's not really big-time stinging insect season right now, we decided we wanted to get it out of the way, because by the time we get to stinging insect season, ain't nobody going to want to fucking talk about it. We'll just be like, God damn it. So,
man, so, I don't know. Those are my favorite jobs, man. Those are my favorite. I fucking love those jobs.
Oh, you know what? I dig them too, but sometimes they're just, you know, it all depends on if you leave out in the field in the morning and all your equipment is sound and good and you're not going to fuck up. You don't have to MacGyver anything. That's when they're good. You know, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you may have a hole in that hood, that bee suit that you don't know about, you know. You may have a situation where your equipment's fucking up on you. Like, I don't know, I'd say a dust stick, or things like that. And then, of course, there's always the unexpected. You know, we learn all about bugs and shit, but you know, at the end of the day, they're here to school us. Apparently, we're not here to school them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you really think about it, and school us they do. So, you know, yeah. I've got stories, man. I've got stories, and you know, we had a couple of cheese bags pipe in. Thank you very much for your contributions. You know, you guys' stories and stuff help make the show. So, you know, keep sending them in. We really appreciate it.
Most definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to start out, you talk about your hatred for dust sticks. This might increase your hatred. I don't know, but it was more user error. I was wet behind the ears, had just started in the business. Mm-hmm. And I was sent out on this job where this bald-faced hornet's nest was on this sapling just past the tree line of this big, huge house in Columbia, Maryland. And it was like, I'd say 4 foot off the ground, about the size of a basketball. And there's other trees around and other saplings and stuff. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to put this dust stick, all the poles I got on it, and try to creep up to it and jam that nozzle in the end of the, in the entrance hole and just load it up. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, dumbass me, wet behind the ears. Instead of going straight at it like I was jousting, I kind of came in from the side, and the tip, that little metal tip on the end of the dust stick, caught the sapling next to it, and it went and smacked the side of that fucking nest. Oh, man. It kind of caught and went whack, and I was like, oh, shit, I dropped that dust stick, man, and I think I got stung on the face 8 times before I made it back to the truck.
Oh, shit. Wow. And hey, everybody, and speaking of dust sticks, how many times has this happened to you? Even one is too fucking many. You're on a job. You've got that nest way the fuck up high, right? It's in the gables. You got your dust stick. You got maybe three poles, extension poles going in. You edge ease it up there. You get that dude in the hole that's there. You're doing your business, you know, and everything. You get it done. You pull it down. the head of the dust stick stays up there. And the pole that is, because it's got that little ball and hole thing to kind of hold it on. So you're standing there looking like a dipshit, trying to figure out what the fuck you're going to do, because it's about 15, 20 feet up. You ain't got a ladder. And you're sitting there watching that thing just dangle around, just laughing at you. And, that's happened to me more than once. And, it's one of those times where you thank heavens that you thought enough to pack a lunch, because it's going to be a minute to get that down there. Because really, I mean, the two times I did it, I ended up having to negotiate that pole back in to the other pole. And of course, it was a windy day. So it's just kind of, doing the little pendulum thing, swinging around. I'm thinking, the wind will blow it enough, it'll work itself out. And then I got to worry about catching it before it breaks on the concrete. No. I'm up there with the pole. I'm finally I hit home. And this was after about 10 minutes of trying. I'm thinking, I got to make this call. I got to tell them I fucked up. Blah, blah, blah. I get that damn thing up there and finally hit it home. And I wiggle it in a couple of different directions. And it comes right out. And I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And somebody is looking out for me. And those are fun. And also it's the whole mystique behind the dust stick is, getting you can get it up there and you get it in the hole and you start pumping and you're praying to God that the damn thing is actually delivering dust in the hole. You don't know if it is or not. most times it's like, you just got to, this is an act of faith here, right? You're in there, you're just pounding the shit out of that damn thing, hoping that some dust gets down there, but you don't know. The little stem that goes into the hole, maybe it pushed down a little bit too far into the cylinder as you were trying to force it in there. Maybe there's a booger in it or something to keep it from going, or maybe it's just a dust stick and it just doesn't feel like working today. Those are the problems I have with the dust stick. Now the old dust sticks, yes, I still have a problem with those because that's the kind of shit that I still had to deal with. And before you go thinking, well, you didn't take care of your dust stick. Yes, I did take care of my dust stick. I took very good care of my dust stick. All my dust sticks have stayed dry as shit. And, it's a great concept. It really is. But sometimes, you got to have something. When you're out there dealing with stinging insects, you got to have something that's fucking reliable as fuck. And I just don't see that with the dust stick.
Well, I get that. I really do. And you're right that some people don't take care of it and their problems they get are their own. One thing I noticed working for several different companies and, coming across their equipment is it's like a B&G with the pump cylinder and the little, mm-hmm. the little pressure cup. No right. one ever greases the inside of that tube. On the dusting, no one fucking. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sure you do, but there's a lot of fucking people that don't. The damn thing's dry as a bone. Like, who's not putting any air out? No fucking wonder.
Yeah,
it's like you're trying to float a goddamn a rowboat with a fucking screen door in the bottom because everything's coming right through it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me a little bit of axle grease or something, and let me or lithium grease. Let me liquor it up a little bit, and ta-da! Bob's your fucking uncle. But
right.
You get people who don't give a shit about the job and don't put any stock into the equipment that they're going to be using. And you get that cylinder's dry as a fucking bone, just like the B&G gets passed around like a cheerleader in a football locker room that no one ever, never cleans out the filter. No one ever does the cylinder thing. And I tell you, if you're going to redo that little pressure cylinder in your B&G, get the leather one, not the plastic one. The leather ones last so much longer.
They do.
They're so nice.
And I found out recently that you can actually still obtain the leather pump cups, which is great because and when you get a fresh one in there and it's all nice and greased up and everything, you put it in there. And as long as you did take care of your cylinder as well. Typically, what I would do is I would take one of those green scrubby things or one of those, enchanted erasers or whatever the fuck they're called and stick it in there and get everything nice and clean on the inside, rinse it out real good, let it dry because we know lube and oil don't mix or lube and water don't mix, and put that sucker in there. And it does. It's you can feel the difference and you're delivering a lot more air. you have to pump your B&G less. And, you know, I mean, yeah, for those of you that actually still use B&G and you didn't get on the flavor of the month, 1 gallon flow zone. Yeah. You know, B&Gs are still a thing. Elvis is still alive. That's right. You know, so
I'm too old fashioned to get on the flow zone train. I'm sorry.
You know what? For a backpack sprayer, you know, for outside work, the flow zone is the bomb diggity. But man, that 1 gallon thing, I've seen too many videos of fuckers using them indoors, and that's shame.
No, shame.
But anyway, back to the dust stick. I have taken. I get more mileage and use out of the extension rods from a dust stick than I do the actual dust stick itself. I mean, you know, several parts of this thing are great. The extensions are a prime example. You know, you want, sometimes you get a nest that's so high up, you don't need, like a paper wasp or something like that. You don't even need to use the dust stick, the head of it. You just take that sucker and you just get up there and you knock that fucker down, and it's so far up, you got plenty of time to run the hell away from it before before the wasps even know what's going on. And that even works on those little mean ass ones with the yellow stripes on their asses. You know, the brown ones, they don't give two shits. You know, it's like, oh God, man, my nest is gone. Dude, seriously? But the ones with the yellow stripes, all right, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're running all over every place. But high enough, you just pop it off and you're good. You know, just go over and hose it down with, you know, whatever you got in your hand and you're good to go. But as far, you know, in close combat, dust sticks are lame. You know, usually a good Puffy D's old central bulb duster will do the trick. But one I did find, you know, hornet nests. Let's talk about hornets. The dust stick. You know, I mean, if you don't have a bee suit on and you're using a dust stick on a bald faced hornet nest, yeah, you pretty much count on getting stung. Now, that said, I have used the dust parts of the dust stick on other things. B&G, I don't know if they still make them or not, but they had this fantastic duster. It had the steel can. It was about a 2 gallon steel can. It had a gauge on it. It had a nipple on it, though. You could pump it up to an air compressor, jack that sucker up. I mean, it's metal, so you could jack it up to wherever the hell you wanted it, you know, as long as you don't get it up to, like, you know, 600 pounds. But you could take that, and it just had this little small ass weenie tip on it. And so it was great for like carpenter ants and stuff like that. You could find it, but I had another idea. Is I got that. I had one of those at the Big Green Tea, and I took a piece of nylon hose, put it in there, fed it through a bunch of the old extensions from the dust sticks that, you know, broke down after the third fucking time we used them, and just kept all that together. So I left enough slack in the hose so you could pop it off and make like collapsible, you know, like a tent pole or something. Yeah. And Tape the business end to, you know, it stuck out. I just put some duct tape around there, so I had a little tip there come out, and I'd jack that sucker up. I'd stick that in a hornet nest. I'd let that damn trigger loose. It's like, I mean, you know, dust is flying, you know, like the little gills and shit on the outside of a bald faced hornet nest. Uh-huh. It's like dust is just blowing out of those and shit. but you know, the thing about that is you only get one shot, and you know, you got to make sure that shot counts. And with that setup, it always counted. Always.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You know, but, you know, time passes. We change companies. Equipment gets confiscated. So, you know, I didn't have that anymore. But I went to when I worked at the Scarlet Letter, I discovered that Birchmeyer has a product. It's a duster. And It looks like a plastic Hudson sprayer. You know, it looks like a cheap piece of shit you get for $10 at Lowe's. But, you know, this thing, it's got a nice tube on it, and you pump it up. It's got several different lengths of stuff. And it works great. You know, you pump it up about 50 or 60. You really got to work to pump it up. It does have a nipple for an air compressor if you're, you know, Schultz and don't like to pump things.
Love you, Schultz.
Yeah, that's right. Me too. But you can get a good head of steam on that. And it was great for yellow jacket nests and walls and carpenter ants and stuff like that. It was all around, you know, you can use it on a lot of stuff. I asked the mechanic at the Scarlet Letter, Dean, the late Dean. I love the guy. I miss him. Asked him, you know, can we do better? He goes, I think I can do something. So Chuck, the sales director, when he came to town the next time, brought me a 8-foot long piece of brake line that dude had put one of those connectors on the end of for that Birchmeyer. So I get that. So I was all over the place with that shit, man. Hornet nest, yellow jack up high shit. Yeah. It's like, I didn't need a damn dust stick anymore. Give me a decent ladder and that thing, and I'm in business. And, that's awesome. Yeah. So, the dust stick after that was dead to me. And then, but, you know, again, people change companies. Equipment gets confiscated. I'm back to the dust stick, man.
Tell us how you really feel, Brad. Tell us how you really
feel. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you talk about B-suits. I do not suggest this to anybody. This is just my personal preference. I've worn one twice in my entire 26 years. Twice. Once was in an attic with a European hornet nest they were coming in through this hole in the soffit. They nested just inside the soffit in this attic. The small little gable attics, not the big one you can stand up in, but it's like a triangular shaped off the side of the house type thing.
Oh, the real squatty ones like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bungalow roofs. I lived in one of those.
So I'm in one of those motherfuckers, my big ass, and I'm like, look, I can't back out of here that quick because there's not enough room for me to turn around. I'd have to back out. Oh. So I put the B-suit on for that. And one other time, because I was being shadowed by a manager, and I put it on because it was, you know, SOP to put it on. But when I was working for the second largest school system in the country, there was this outside window near the kindergarten in the playground area. And it was a wasp nest, a little disc nest about the size of a tennis ball. Had a few wasps sit on it, nothing, no big deal. And the guy I was riding with that day, here goes the train, guy I was riding with, he's trying to get his big ass in a suit. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? He's like, I got to put the bee suit on for this. I'm like, no. I said, just you go ahead and put that suit on. I'll be right back. I walked up and just kind of went swat, smacked the nest, got the wasp off of it, ripped it down and said, threw it in the back of the truck and said, let's go. He's like, what? I'm like, I got it. What's the problem? this guy was like, you know, every little tiny nest, he'd like put the suit on. I'm like, dude, there's like five little holes in that thing and two of them have a larva. There's one fucking wasp sitting on it and you're putting on a bee suit? Really? That's the same guy that thought the Victor snap traps with expanded triggers, the yellow trigger on it, he thought that was supposed to resemble cheese so he wouldn't have to bait him.
It was the same guy. Wow. All right. Well, fortunately, that kind of mentality isn't as widely spread as we thought. It's just concentrated in one guy. So that's good. You got that going for you. Bee suits, man. I always was under the philosophy that, you know, my brother Daryl coined, he said bee suits are strictly for pussies. Now, I had been in the business for a long fucking time. And up until I started working where I'm working now, I had never worn a bee suit. So I donned my first bee suit at my current place of employee. And I ain't looking back. Now, that's not saying that I'm going to put a bee suit on for, you know, a two wasp nest or something like that. No, I'm talking about bald-faced hornet, close, you know, low-hanging hornet nests. I'm talking about, you know, yellow jacket nests, ground hornets, things like that. Things that'll sneak up and get you right in the sack, right? Mm-hmm. Now a bee suit is perfect for that. And, which is great because I learned a couple of really good lessons, as far as bee suits. One of them is, when I have a ground hornet nest or something like it's in a retaining wall or something like that, the minute I put on that bee suit and I get that last zipper up around the bonnet, my balls expand slowly and large, and all of a sudden I can be, I cannot be harmed. I have got the cloak of invincibility on me, and I can get up there and I can do whatever the fuck I want to those damn things, and they are powerless to do me harm. So one instance is, you know, one of the big thank God I have a bee suit on moments was just last year. I was out doing a job, and again there was a retaining wall, right? And I was trying to be cool. I saw the exit hole in the rocks, and these weren't mortared together. These were rocks that were just flat rocks. It was kind of like laying one on top of another. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking. I said, okay, so the entrance hole's there. So I have a shot at the nest being in one of two directions, and I want to try to get a couple of rocks out, get my product in there to go towards that nest in the back, and get the nest, you know, take it out that way. So I'm not having to fuck with, you know, it gives them a, you know, it's a nice display when you try to flush something out and you got thousands of yellow jackets and shit going around. It's hard on material. But anyway, I'm up close. I'm about maybe this far away from the rocks, right? And I'm pulling rocks out, and I pull that last rock out, and I'm suddenly like, oh, there's the nest. You know, I'm just like, I just got yellow jackets all over me, and they're just bouncing on that damn netting and shit. And I'm just like, fuck you guys. And it's like, you know, it's just, but when you get done to that, man, it's just a can of 565 in there and just blasting them, and you're done. But yeah, that was great. I'm serious, man, but they were just like, peep, 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 peep. I mean, they were going for the eyeballs too, man. And I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck every goddamn one of you. And yeah, it was great. Another time a bee suit is good is, again, you know, for the low hanging bald faced hornet nests, because you can really impress a customer. Because, you know, it's like, all right, they're like, they're right over there. And I was like, okay, ma'am, I got this. I look over. Yeah, it's about, you know, it's hanging off an old maple tree or oak tree or something. It's about 5-6 feet off the ground. It's a good meaty motherfucker, right? So reach in my truck, pull out one of those Pro Control foggers. I get my bee suit on. I saunter over. I just put my fucking arms around that motherfucker, and I just take that can and some.
Awesome. Get in a headlock.
Oh yeah, man, it's amazing. It's like, you know, the customer's legs are just like bing after that. You know, it's like even her husband's like bing,
bing and boing.
It's like, yes. Yeah. Bee suits may be for pussies for some, but I put one on. I have never felt more manly in my life.
Manly. Well, I tell you, I get that giant, that amazing feeling. Like if someone, you know, thinks cicada killers are harmful, which really they're not. And that there was a place in Columbia, Maryland that the ground hadn't been turned over there for like a good 30, 40 years. And this one hillside behind this house in the middle of this neighborhood was full of cicada killer mounds, full of them, like 40 or 50 of these mounds at least. And they were, and all the males were cruising along the ground all over the place. And I just kind of waltzed out in the middle of them. And the lady homeowner's on her back porch, like, oh my God, I'm going to call the ambulance. I'm like, I'm fine, ma'am. I got this. And kind of saunter down through them. They're all flying all over the place. I've got two cans of wasp sprays. I'm trying to pick them out like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. Fucking love that shit.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The only time I ever did like a big time cicada killer job is it was the first brood X that I had been in the business. And they were in a play area out in Noblesville, which is north of where I live. And so I did go ahead and go at night because I wanted to catch him in the nest. And I just took a B&G full of, you know, full on strength. Was it Kicker? Yeah, it was Kicker. I wasn't using Exciter back then, which is just a basic pyrethrin. Yeah. You know, and I just took my flashlight out and I'd go and I'd see their little heads and I'd scoosh, 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 rinse and repeat like 300 times. And
yeah,
I took care of business. I don't like killing cicada killers. They're not going to hurt you. You got to really piss one off for them to get you to sting. But you know, Big Green Tea. I'm there to make money. You know, we didn't, we weren't blowing insulation back then when I did this. So, you know, there we are. But cicada killers are like, I don't know. They're like the golden retrievers of stinging insects, you know?
Agreed.
You know, where, whereas yellow jackets are the chihuahuas, you know, the yellow, the wasp I was talking about, you know, the ones with the yellow stripes on their ass, those are the Jack Russells. You know, bumblebees are like English bulldogs, you know, and you know, carpenter bees. It's like, they don't give a shit about you. They're just trying to fuck and drill holes. You know, they really don't bother you any too much. I mean, the ones we really have problems with. I mean, when was the last time anybody was attacked by mud daubers? I mean,
I don't think about it.
Yeah. You know? The yellow jackets are a problem. You know, bald-faced hornets, definitely a problem. European hornets, they're pretty chill, but they are kind of menacing. You know, we don't have Asian hornets here in Indianapolis. So I know that they're starting to make an appearance in the West Coast and, you know, some of those areas, coastal areas and whatnot.
Oh, I missed the boat on those. I wanted those so bad. I missed the boat on those. God damn
it. Fuck that, man. You know, I retire in 5 years. You know, that's plenty of time. Once I get out of this, you know, they'll probably be in Indiana, but I'll be retired by then. So fuck it. I don't want to fuck
like,
with them, Jack.
I would have like thrown a badminton racket on the back of the truck just for them. Just boing. Just
smack those fuckers. Oh, carpenter, that'd be fun. Carpenter bees, man. I love hitting them. Same. Them fuckers with bat, you know, badminton rackets or two empty 2-liter bottles. It's like boom.
You can go for distance with those guys. You can definitely go distance with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I just don't have fun. I just let them land on my arm and shit and show the customer. It's like, yeah, these are cool. European hornets, I did that one time. I got up in the tree. They were buzzing around, so I just kind of stuck my arm up there. They just start crawling across. It's like, what's up, Brad? How you doing? Come to kill us, didn't you, motherfucker? Yeah, that's cool. You piss them off, they're going to sting you. But, But bald-faced hornets, no. All they want to do is they're just there to kick. They're just there to build basketballs in your trees and kick your ass. So,
yeah.
You know, they got to go. They got to go.
I love those. I got to tell you, the one thing that actually gave me pause up out here in the Shenandoah Valley, you get some spots that we are just silly with velvet ants, silly with them. The cow killers.
The cow killers.
This lady had this slate walkway, like little chunks of slate, you know, little path to get to her front door. And they were nesting or hanging around just under and coming out from under the slate. And they were all over the place. I mean, I've seen one or two here or there every once in a while, but there was like 15, 16 of these bastards. I'm thinking, man, this could go sideways really quick. That could hurt. I watch that dude that does those videos on YouTube where he stings himself with the most painful insect sting. Yeah. And he did it with the velvet ant. That fucker rolled around like someone stuck a hot poker in his butthole.
Oh,
my God.
If you ever saw one of the things, first time I ever encountered a velvet ant up close and personal, I was in Bloomington, and this is when I wasn't even in Big Green Tea for like 2 years, but we're sitting at a shelter at a park, and all of a sudden I look down and I see this fucker, and I was like, that's a velvet ant, holy shit! So I picked it up. Got a solo cup, picked it up, you know, real careful and shit, you know, put a plastic bag over it. Somebody fortunately had a rubber band. I took it into work the next day. And so I showed it to my boss, and he goes, what do you want me to do with that? I said, you want to kill it? He goes, sure. So I grabbed a can of PT-250 Bagon, which was a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And I just poked the straw in the plastic and just gave it just a pssst. That was it. No more. Just a pssst. That sucker got on its back. Its stinger came out, and it was like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, man, getting stuck.
It's like
that.
The length of the rear thorax. It's the length of the rear thorax.
It's like it's telescopic, Jack. I mean, it's like it curves, and it's like almost like telescopic. It's like a foreskin or sheath or something around it. I don't know.
It's like a dog's red rocket.
Okay, yeah, it's like a dog's red rocket. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, still hate to get nodded by that motherfucker.
Yeah. I tell you what, we got some stories that came in. I had a few people message me. Dave Lyon, our favorite Australian, who you will hear on our not upcoming. Too far in the distant future upcoming international episode, said, I did a job. I had a customer called about a swarm of bees hanging off a branch that he was adamant was wasps. After a bit of back and forth, I finally just said, fine, if you want to believe they're wasps and not bees, I'll leave you to it. Considering I'm a beekeeper, then I went through the swarm into a bucket. It took me all of 20 seconds. He said, I'm not paying you for 20 seconds of work. I tried to explain to him that the process of taking the swarm back to the farm and put them into a hive and the work involved in that. He still refused to pay. So I dumped the swarm onto his front lawn and drove away. Fuck that guy.
Damn.
Yeah. Being a beekeeper, that must be cool, though, just to really get down and watch the habits and stuff of those guys. That's awesome.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, honeybees, there's nothing like watching them. I mean, you know, I would go to museums and shit as a kid, and they would have like the glass, you know, the honey hive or the beehive was there.
Yeah.
There was a painted glass right there, and you could just watch those fuckers in action. And, you know, watching the nature shows and stuff, you know, they talk about their wiggling their ass for certain things and that their little dances and stuff they do. And actually seeing it in person was really something else. So, you know, I have a real fondness for honeybees, and, you know, I try not to fuck their lives up as, you know, whenever I can, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll leave them alone.
Do it,
yeah.
But it really sucks when you do it. You know, there's a lot of controversy behind controlling honeybees and stuff. We really don't want to touch on that tonight because I don't feel like it.
Right.
So, let's talk about, I mean, honeybees are great. They pollinate, they provide some of the nicest food ever. And, you know, out of their vomit and, you know, the stuff that oozes out of their asses is pretty nice too for candles and other things. And I've known women rubbing it on their elbows and stuff. It's just really nice. But now we're talking about the assholes of the stinging insect kingdom tonight. So, Candace Nordquist, yes, the she Nord, piped in with a little bit of a story too. And she goes, my very first actual hive was bald-faced hornets, ooh, baptism by fire. One of the awesome ladies that works for our Head Start location told me her brother-in-law was mowing the backyard and got attacked by bees. I told her it was more than likely not bees, but wasps. Got her address from her, called Brandon, who you don't know is her husband, and told him what was going on, and we met up at her house. Her brother-in-law told us that he was getting attacked and swore it was bees. As I stood on the back deck with him explaining that more than likely it wasn't bees, Brandon was out looking around, and he noticed the black fence had a bunch of ivy growing over it. He moved some of it, and there they were, a hive of bald-faced hornets. Brandon told everyone to walk away. We all did. we made a plan to come back at night to take them down. I was nervous as it was going to be my first time in a suit and against hornets nonetheless. When we came back that night, we were on the deck with all our stuff suiting up while Brandon explained to me what he was going to do and what he needed me to do. I tried my hardest to stay cool and calm and just listen to what needed to be done. I'm pretty positive I did okay as no one got hurt. The hives came down, and Brandon even found a second hive he was able to get down while I finished the first one.
Nice. Now, Jack,
yeah, this story reaches me in two different levels. One, the fact that they took out a bald-faced hornet nest, and I hate bald-faced hornets. And the second is, I mean, I just love Candace and Brandon's stories because, you know, it's just they're just two folks against the world just working it, you know, making things happen. Doing, you know, helping other people out with, you know, with their work, and it's just great. You know, I always get a warm fuzzy when I get to read a Nord story.
And if you're new to the show, if you go back a couple episodes, we have an episode called "Revenge of the Nords,"
where we have
Candace and Brandon on. It's a great fucking show. So to get a good idea for just how awesome they are, you should check out "Revenge of the Nords." And by the way, Candace, penis. heinous, Candace.
I was wondering, let's see, 39-14 is when that's on, so.
Heinous.
But anyway, so, yeah, the Nords are definitely awesome. You know who else is awesome, Jack?
Who? Oh, yes, Mr. Tony Spangler. I got to tell you, not this weekend, but next weekend, I'm going to be going to my military school, 35th High School reunion. So, Tony was kind enough to make me a Fork Union Military Academy, class of 89, which I can't get it past the, there you go, focus. Class of 89, Fork Union Military Academy, Tumblr, and I got a couple of extras. So when I find some of my good old time buddies from way back when, I'm going to be passing a few out and tell them where the hell they came from.
Fucking A.
Looking forward to showing off my unique Tony Spangler Tumblr.
Jack, I have absolutely no connection to Fort Union, and I still think that is an extremely majestic Tumblr right there.
Oh, it is. It's gorgeous.
It's got the shield or the emblem on it and everything. It's simple. It's elegant. It's awesome. You know what else is simple and elegant? That's right. That picture right there. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that, baby.
Yeah. Oh, it gets better. Because there's that one, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can trump you on that one, though. I can. With this face.
Talking about her, aren't we? Yeah.
That's right. So she's going to get on you for doing that, by the way.
That's right. Okay. Well, I'll work a little Three Stooges reference in it, then. Boink.
So he pulled that out of his pants.
I would be we're still in sponsor mode here. I would be remiss if I did not mention, of course, what comes with the Tumblr, and that is the one, the only, you know it, you love it, you can't live without it. Look at the gleam coming off of that thing. Ooh,
yeah,
that right there is surgical grade stainless steel urethral sounding rod. That's right. Comes with a nice hollow tip too. So if you're into it for a couple hours, you got to let go. You can still let go. You know, don't be fooled by the solid sounding rods that are out there this day and age. This one serves a dual purpose. If this is what you're into, this will take care of you. And also, it also doubles as a catheter, so you can get past that scar tissue and stuff.
And the syphilis, and you get past the syphilis.
The syphilis and the gonorrhea. But anyway, SpanglerArt.com, Tony Spangler. It's awesome. And, of course, Rubber Bottom. Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, one thing I learned, an old dude told me when I was first learning general pest, because I started out as a termite guy, but I was first learning general pest. He's like, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are going to tell you different, but bees and wasps and hornets have horrible eyesight. They got a lot better sense of smell than they have eyesight, because they'll tag you with the pheromone, then they'll all know where you are. But as far as they're concerned, if you do something with the nest and then you stand completely still, not right up on it, but completely still, don't swat your hands, don't run around, don't move at all, they'll fly right past you. And I've used that so many times, it has proven true for me.
Yeah.
Like, I had a ground nest in this little tiny slope next to a school that was covered in ivy, and they were coming out of the ivy and stinging these kids as the kids were walking by. Then you get some stupid kid that goes throwing stuff at it and really stirs them up, and several kids get stung.
Yeah.
So the maintenance for that school is at the top of the hill watching me. And I've got the brass extension on the center bulb. There was the 18-inch extension on the center bulb, the tube. I got one of those, and I pop it, and I just stand back and stand still. And they're, like, flying right by my head. They're not even bothering with me. And the guy's at the top of the hill going, dude, ain't you going to run? I'm like, no, just stand here, man. Just,
yeah.
I said, it's when you start swinging your arms around and acting like a little girl. That's when you get stung. Mm-hmm. Just stand still. As far as they're concerned, you're a tree.
Yeah,
and they'll fly right past you.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Hear that, or they'll land on your arm and start building a nest. Either way, it's cool as fuck. I've also been taught in my early days at the Big Green Tea from the Big Green binder. If you are being chased by stinging insects and you just can't bring it to yourself to stand still, run in a zigzag pattern. It will confuse them. Of course, you can still count on getting stung, but not as many times. And so
it'll suck. Yeah, no, just less.
It's like you'll zig one way away from a wasp, but you'll zig the other way, and his partner's over there waiting for your ass. And you end up getting it either way.
Switch up your pattern.
That's right. Switch up your pattern, or do like they do in the movies and cartoons. Just find the nearest pool and jump the fuck in it.
Well. Robert Allen Ayers says, stinging insect story. Probably 15 years ago, I had a ticket for a one-time treatment for a wasp nest. Got on site and found it was a rather large bald-faced hornet's nest on the side of the house. Spoke with the homeowner, found out she had just come home from a two-week vacation, collected payment, and told her to stay away from the area for a bit. Went back around to look at it and stood there coming up with a plan. The nest was big as shit and just there, like stuck on the side of the house with no windows, overhangs, etc. Just stuck there. Whatever. Let's kill this thing and move on. It's almost 20 foot up, so I get my extension pole, a can of wasp freeze, and a bellows duster of Delta Dust. I first plan to knock a big hole in it and start blasting with some wasp freeze to get some quick kills. I extend the pole sufficiently and make sure it's going to reach. Then I rear back and stab as hard as I can into the nest. There's a cracking, shattering sound as my extension pole stabs easily through the side of the nest, then straight through the single pane window that had been completely obscured by the huge wasp nest. Homeowner had neglected to mention that she had first realized it was there when she found the window in the stairway to the second floor was obscured. Turns out she had her two kids with her, looking at the inside of the nest, waiting to see what it looked like when the bug guy started killing them. Thanks for keeping that part to yourself, Miss Jones. So now I have a huge nest of angry hornets, a broken window, allowing them to pour their vengeance and fury into the home, and a furious customer that's been chased out of her home by said flying death machines. Long story short, she got her money back, a new window, and the opportunity to berate me, my boss, my boss's boss, our company, and everyone associated with us, past, present, and future. Surprisingly, I kept my job, probably because my immediate supervisor thought it was the funniest fuck up he'd ever seen in his then 25 years of pest control. Straight through the nest, right through the fucking window. That's awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. But, you know, as far as hornets, I mean, hornets are big. Their nests are big. They're menacing as fuck. I'd still have to say yellow jackets would be probably still the most aggressive and challenging ones. Because, you know, I mean, a hornet, you get lucky with a hornet because everything's just right there in one self-contained sphere. And with a yellow jacket, you don't know, man, especially the ones that are in the fucking ground, you know, because you see one hole that's got a lot of traffic going, and it's in and out and in and out and in and out. You go deal with that, and there may be another hole over here somewhere that's, you know, they're that's their exhaust pipe, and you go working on that thing, them fuckers are right behind you getting at you. And again, that's where a bee suit is important.
Right.
Because even if they are blowing out from that other exit, you're good. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, usually when I'm treating a ground nest, you know, I'll be taking care of business, and I'll just kind of be looking around too, see if I can see anything blowing out from, you know, another area, and then I'll give it a couple more seconds over here. Then I'm over there, and I'm fucking hitting that too. Yellow jackets, they have patterns too. I mean, let's go to the wall. Okay, where we've got a yellow jacket nest in a wall. You're standing there, and this is what's gotten me through not having a bee suit for almost my entire career. Is learning the patterns of the yellow jacket. Now, yellow jacket, you'll see that exit hole, you know, say in a wall or what have you, and they're going in and out and in and out and in and out. Well, there's always a, you know, after a few minutes, a couple minutes of that, there's like a 10 to 20 second lull in the action where nothing is coming out of that. And that's when you make your move. You know, if you just got a bulb duster, you know, a Puffy D or whatever, even if you've got one of the Birchmeyer you know, dusters that I was talking about earlier, that's a perfect time. That's when you make your move. That's when you're making your money. It's like you just stand there still, just like Jack said, and just watch them. And then they're going to stop. They're going to stop coming around, you know, going in and out of that thing. And then you just charge in there. You've got your pump ready. You got your hand on your duster, whatever the fuck. And you get in there and you jam that sucker in there and you just go to town. Just.
Yep.
Okay. A 3-second blast from a Birchmeyer duster is going to kill whatever the fuck is in there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it. You know, you watch them. You go in. You deal with it. You get the fuck out. You go to the other door. You knock on it. You tell them fucking customers to pay you. Yellowjack, if you've got, and again, you know, it goes to having the right equipment, you know, in order to get the job done efficiently, quickly, and safely. And that's what, you know, and that's where you make your money. Scarlet Letter, many, many years ago, they did what a lot of people do and, you know, took a big wad of money, you know, and like, you know, $100 bills and put them right in a toilet and flushed them. Yes, that's right. They joined Angie's List. But you know, in all candor, we did get a lot of business from Angie's List. Not enough to justify the ridiculous fucking charges they wanted to, you know, to be you know, published on Angie's List. But it was still a lot of business nonetheless. And I had to learn quick how to kill yellow jackets quick. Because I would have my fucking schedule stacked. And again, I wasn't even a technician. I was a fucking office guy, right? And these things would be coming in so much, I couldn't pass them out to the techs quick enough. And, you know, I mean, when you offer a fucking, you know, yellow jacket job for $49 or whatever, yeah, you're going to get some calls.
Oh, my God. You're going to be silly with it.
Oh, fuck. I got so many calls. It's like I would just load that damn duster. I fill that damn thing half full. And then I would just go out and bleh, go back to the office. Oh, here's some more. I killed a lot of bees, didn't make a lot of money, but, you know, killed a lot of wasps and yellow jackets and shit like that. And, but I was able to do that because I had the right equipment.
Right. Well, I tell you, sometimes you have the right equipment, but you have the wrong people. When I was a service manager for Big Green Tea, this call came in for yellow jackets in a house and said they were coming through a hole in the ceiling and the people had taped up this hole. So the technician was like, man, I don't know how should I handle this? What should I do? It's like, look, I'll meet you out there. So I went out there to the job with him. And in the living room, well, the house, the way it was built, they put this little tiny deck with French doors from the master bedroom on the second floor that you could step out onto the deck. They didn't build the deck to the house. They built it on the house and put siding around it, which left a gap into the fucking the structure of the house. Instead of putting it on the siding, they put it on and put the siding around it. So they left that gap.
Yeah.
So they were getting in between the floor of the second floor master bedroom and the ceiling of the living room. And the guy had used the at-home wasp spray stuff, trying to spray them when they were coming out by the siding. Stained the shit out of his siding, by the way. But so it pushed him in. Along in between the joists, and they were burrowing through the sheetrock and the ceiling and coming out into the living room. So I was going around. The hole was taped up. I was trying to clean up the ones that were flying around that managed to get out before the guy put tape up. And I'm, you know, getting with like a wet paper towel, getting them and smushing them when they're in the windows and stuff, because it was the middle of the summer. Air conditioning was on, so they were hanging around the windows because it was warmer in the sunlight. So the tech I'm with walks in the middle of the living room, looks up, and rips the fucking tape off.
Ooh.
And the house starts filling up with fucking yellow jackets. So I'm like, get out of the house! And everybody runs out of the house. Everybody.
I love panic.
Oh, my God. So they got out of we all got out of the house. And I'm standing there looking in the living room window, which is filling up with yellow jackets. Filling up. I mean, to the point that you couldn't see into the room for the yellow jackets on the window. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are we going to do now?
Wow.
And I was like, you really had to pull that tape off, didn't you? You just had to fucking do it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And so what I did is I was like, look, you're going to go to the front door and hold it open for me. I'm going to come into the back slider. I'm going to run to the thermostat right there in the hallway, and I'm going to jack that air conditioning down as cold as I can get it. So I ran through, jacked it down, ran back outside. We waited for about 15, 20 minutes. Now, the house was getting so cold, they had two skylights in the little breakfast nook area in the kitchen, which is right off the living room. And the fucking skylight, they started filling the skylight because it's where it was hottest. And they were getting out of the cold main part of the room. So once it kind of died down, they started getting off the window and into the skylight. Then we went in with the extension pole with the aerosol and started killing them out of the skylight and sweeping them up. The only way I could think to do it was to force them into the skylights.
It's incredible how quick you have to think on your feet when you run into when you're doing some of these jobs, especially the ones that are getting inside. The ones that are just primarily outside, entering and exiting. I mean, yeah, they're pretty straightforward, but holy good Lord. Is that running through your front yard?
Just about. Right across the street from my front yard, yeah.
but once they get inside, it's like, yeah, shit, you know, it's Malcolm X pest control, man. You got to take care of it by any means necessary. It's not outside my wheelhouse to just grab aerosols and just go into a room and just basically just pirouette all around, just blasting shit out of the sky and stuff.
Look like a fucking lawn sprinkler of wasp breeze.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Have I ever told you my Termidor carpenter bee story?
No.
Oh, this was beautiful. Lafayette, Indiana, Dateline. I had just read on the Termidor label that, hey, I can use this for carpenter bees. Well, I get a call from this guy. It's Big Green Tea. Up in Lafayette, he's got, you know, carpenter bees. Log home, he's got carpenter bees just drilling the fuck out.
Right? My God, yeah, so, I've seen that before. Right,
that's cool. So I hop in a truck. I head up there. I'm looking. Yeah, sure as shit, man. The fucking sky is black. They're just all buzzing around and shit. The fucking holes are everywhere, right? So cook me up a little Termidor. Actually used a Birchmeyer pump sprayer, got it on pin, and just went and nailed all the holes I could find, right? All right. Okay. So give it some time. Termidor is a slow working product. You know, it's going to be all right. The next week, I get a phone call from a very frantic customer because larvae are raining down upon him. apparently, the larvae tend to eject themselves from the holes in the wood when exposed to fipronil. I go back up there. The place is a fucking mess. Hundreds of larvae. And the weather was warm, so these things were stinking real bad. I mean, anybody that has treated and removed a good sized bald faced hornet nest in middle of the season and put it in a bucket and put it in the back of their truck and forgot about it. Stankin'. And then it's like, oh, I need some rodent bait. It's like, oh God, holy shit. And so it was like that, but it was around the entire, because this guy had a wraparound deck. It was the entire circumference of his house. I mean, hundreds of larvae, big, big fat fuckers too, man. I was like, so I had a shovel, scraping him off his deck, apologizing my ass off. I told him, I said, they're dead, so you got that to look forward to. He wouldn't have it. And he's like, I was having a barbecue out here two nights ago, and hey, they're just fucking falling on my guests and blah blah blah. Bitch.
I've never used that for carpenter ants. I'm a carpenter bees. I've always been one that loves to dust them. I get the JT Eaton's bellows duster, and I'll give it a big old splat. And then you can hear the female in there going in the hole.
Oh, sounds like a pissed off cat.
Yeah. Then you go around and get some of the other ones. When you come back, they don't drug their ass out, and you see like this carpenter bee shaped splot on the ground where they fell out covered in dust went boom.
The dust, yeah. Yeah, that's I always get off like when I blast a yellow jacket nest and I see white yellow jackets come out. It's just like I've done something here.
You're like, yeah, you got minutes, buddy. Minutes. Oh, hell, all you got. Yeah.
You know what though? I as much as I hate doing stinging insect jobs, I love them just as much. I know that doesn't make sense, but fuck, man. It's like, you know, it's like you're the hero almost every time. You're the hero. You know, you go in, you have saved the damsel in distress, for, even if it's a dude, you know, but, you know, and that's something that we'll bring up as well, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are scared of a lot of pests out there, Jack. And,
Oh, yeah.
We want to talk about that, don't we?
Yes, we do. Oh, the spineless customers, the proverbial lady that jumps up on the table and holds up her skirt, eek a mouse type of thing. Yeah. You know?
And when it's a dude, it's even more. Wonderful. Oh God, so,
it's hilarious.
So that's right. We're gonna call it what everybody else calls it. They're pussies, right?
That's right. So, pussies.
Yeah. So next week, guys, we're gonna talk about pussies, pussy customers.
That's right. Spineless, whatever you want to call it. If pussy is actually short for pusillanimous, and it has nothing to do with the vagina.
Pusillanimous.
It's from pusillanimous. So when you say pussy, you're not actually being crude. You're being erudite. So pussy customers, the ones that are scared to death of a little ant going across the counter, scared of the mice, running like hell from the bees and wonder why they got stung. Those kind of customers, we know you've seen them. We know that you go in and end up being the hero when you rescue them from their deadly little cockroach, you know.
And we know you have stories about them too. So please, please, please let us know about them. We'd love to read them to everybody else on the air.
Yep. I got to say one more thing. You talk about the dust on the yellow jackets when they're coming out. The one thing I loved is watching the guy with dust on him as he's flying out, and you watch him go, and then he starts to, like, you know, lose the altitude. Like, you're like, you thought you were getting away, motherfucker, didn't you?
Oh, hell yeah. And the even best part about that late season one that you do, and like hundreds of them are coming out, and then all of a sudden you just see this big fat bitch come out of there.
Yeah,
we got the mama. I was like, yeah, she was protective of her nest up to a point.
Yep. Then they're all like, oh fuck, we're all screwed. So
yeah. So. Hey, Jack, you want to talk to? We got a little contest going on, don't we? You want to talk about that a little bit?
We do, and we only have one entry. So unless somebody steps up, Dave Lyon is going to win the custom tumbler from Spangler Art and the custom hoodie from PestDesigns.com.
And what it we're is, gonna be throwing in, we're going to be throwing, dude, the prize is swag for days. You know,
it is.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be getting some of these out. Let's see, what else do I have in my drawer of goodies? Oh, I've still got a koozie. Yeah.
And I got stickers I'll send you. So here's the deal. Take a picture of yourself with something, Tales from the Crawl Space and PC and or PCHD, and take a selfie of yourself with it. You're not obligated to buy merch. If you want to make a sign or something, that's cool too. We're not expecting you to buy something to enter the contest. No purchases required. So,
but, you know, the she bags out there, the baguettes out there, nudity is a plus.
Oh yeah, it's nipples. Nipples may get you, could possibly get you a second entry.
Skin to win.
No, the deal is you take a selfie with something with Tales from the Crawl Space, and then you tag us in it on Facebook, and I'll give you a second entry if you go on Instagram and or TikTok and tag our account, either TFTC Podcast on Instagram or TFTC 2.0 on TikTok. And if you post something there and tag us in social media, you'll get a second entry for the contest. So you can get two possible entries for the contest. Yeah. The first show in June, we're going to announce a winner. And right now, the only person we got is Dave Lyon. And his is fucking awesome because he's completely dripping with Tales from the Crawl Space and PCHD swag in this picture. That's right. So,
and also, to be honest with you, I'd like to see some more people get up there and maybe win this, because postage to Australia is a motherfucker.
No, I say he wanted a shirt, and when he did the national episode, I got him a shirt. And what I did is I got in contact with a shirt printer near him in Australia, and I ordered it directly from there, and they shipped it to him.
Get the fuck out.
It cost a lot less than having to have it shipped from here. So I ordered it in Australia and paid for it online, and they just shipped it straight from there. So it worked out pretty well.
All right. Good deal. Yeah, I sent a couple of magnets overseas. One to New Zealand and one to Australia. And man, postage was a bitch. But you know what? I really don't care. Even if we have to do that, even if it's you, Dave Lyon, doesn't matter.
Hell yeah. No, so like I said, take a selfie with TFTC PCHD merch or make a sign. I don't want to see some Sharpie on a fucking piece of notebook paper. Be a little creative. I mean, we're cheese bags. We got more moxie than that. And do something. Take a selfie. Tag us on Facebook and then do it on social media for a second entry. So
that's permit me to grovel. Permit me to grovel just one for one more thing.
Certainly.
Yes. www.tftc.wtf has it's basically the spank bank for every episode that we've done. You can find us basically as Jack and Yoko say, anywhere podcasts are heard. But you know, our website is www.tftc.wtf and go on there and leave us a review. We are swirling vortexes of emotional need, Jack and I. And so we would really like to see what you think of us. Be honest and forthright and magnanimous. And we'd love to see what you think. You know, make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And if we're not, let us know so we can do better for all of you.
Oh, certainly. So if you love us, let us know. If you don't like us when you do the review, this show is called The Pest Posse. And just go ahead and make the review towards The Pest Posse. That's what you should do.
That's right. Pest Posse. That's right. Next week, posse customers are the subject.
That's right. Get your stories in for the spineless customers you've come across, the ones that run screaming, are so happy to see you, and maybe give you a little oral compensation when the job's done because you've done such a good job saving them from their nasty oppressors. Yes, I mean, it's either this or that, one of the two. So, you know, that was
for the ladies out there.
Nothing like a hot box lunch at the Y.
That's right.
All right, my friend, you want to get us the hell out of here?
Yeah, what the fuck? On behalf of Tales from the Crawl Space Podcast, Pest Control, Humor Depot, my favorite group, Ask for Paula, we invite you to respectfully bug off.
Bug off.
Y'all come back now. You hear?
Oh, thanks for listening to Tales from the Crawl Space Podcast. Jack and Brad will be back next week with another great episode. TFTC can be found on almost every podcast provider available, and you can also find us on TikTok at TFTC 2.0, Instagram at TFTC Podcast, Facebook at the Pest Control Humor Depot Group, and our website, www.tftc.wtf. Don't forget to subscribe and share. See you soon.